Hey everybody, welcome back to the Challenge Recap Podcast over here on the Dom and Colin Network. We got another episode. Everyone knows I have no idea what number it is, but not that it matters, because just as time doesn't exist in these times, episode numbers also don't exist in these times. Of course, I'm not alone today. I have my usual co-host, my partner in crime, Brian Scally, with me. How are you doing today, Scally?
I am good. Glad to be back here for episode 14 of this season. So, it was I don't know if I'd say an eventful episode, but I thought it was fun.
Do you think you would know the episode number if not for the fact that it's like become my thing to not know the episode number?
Yeah, I always write it at the top of my notes every week.
Okay. I mean, I just start a new note page and I start at the top. Kyle had his first confessional talking about blah, blah, blah. And that's where my notes begin.
That's definitely fair.
Well, so I guess like you go back in your notes from last week and you... Or maybe at a certain point you just know that this was episode 14. I don't know.
Behind the scenes, very interesting. Was like,
there's nothing.
Like, the challenge episode 14, and then was like, oh my god, am I wrong? Is that because that seems like a very high number, especially like for I don't know. I feel like the last few weeks have kind of blended together, and then nope, I was right. So all good there.
Yeah, I'm having this weird thing where I feel like the challenge is running later than it should be. I don't think it is. I feel like maybe it does usually run this late, but like, I don't know, because right now we would normally be having Big Brother on, and we would be, you know, into the first week of the season. Live feeds would be on by now. I just don't know that I remember a challenge still happening at the same time, but I guess...
I am so bad with dates and like when things happen. I feel like I remember weeks where like it intersects with Survivor, it intersects with Big Brother Canada, it intersects with Big Brother US. I don't know. All I know is that like, all right, the challenge is worse for live tweeting, so I'm watching it on the repeat.
Right. All right. Well, yeah, this was an episode.
It was.
End of
it
sentence.
Was an episode.
This was an episode. Like, how do I approach the intro to this podcast without just coming off like I am miserable talking about it? Because I'm not miserable. I mean, I'm, of course, always happy to get in here talking about the challenge. It's, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. There's going to be a lot of good stuff to talk about in shows like this Big Brother, Survivor, whatever. But sometimes you just get to a point in the season where you're watching 90 minutes of the same complete, like, recycled thing just over and over again. How many times are we going to hear about Fessy and Corey and their argument that is not even, like, I don't even believe it.
Yeah, well, the good thing about watching it delayed is that you can cut out those commercials on the rewatch. You can go double speed even. So I would say the positive about like this week and last week is, while we are getting a lot of, you know, like played out storylines and stuff that I am hardcore rolling my eyes at, we are seeing some of the characters where we were kind of like, where were they in the beginning of the season? So finally we're seeing Mel, we're seeing Kyle. So the people that, I mean, I personally have enjoyed more are at least popping up more now.
And it still feels like we're only, well, Kyle's a different story because obviously he was a big part of this episode for the elimination, but it still feels like a lot of these people would not be getting all this airtime if not for the D thing. If D was not, you know, taken off the show at this point, I feel like we'd still be getting tons of D and Rogan. And we noticeably have gotten a lot less of Rogan, which I imagine is because he's always tied to D, and what storyline did he have going on outside of that? I don't know. So I do feel like they benefited from that. But I don't know. It's just nothing too interesting has been happening lately. Like they're going to have a hard time selling me on drama between Anissa and Josh. Like that's just
don't put Anissa in the same level as Josh there, please.
You're right. It's just like Anissa is a legend of the game, and she has been around for so many seasons, and I just wish that, you know, as she even mentions, as she's getting ready to go, like, I wish that she didn't have to go home at the hands of Josh. Like, obviously that's, you know, this is the game, whatever, but I don't know. It was just overall, like, over on the Glee podcast that I do, that you've of course been a guest on, I give, you know, we give a slushy rating at the end of every episode. And that's on a scale of 0 to 5, 0 being it was a perfect episode, 5 being it was awful. And this, like, past couple of episodes, I feel like would have been in the territory for me of like 3 to 4 slushies. Like this one probably gets a big solid like 3.5.
And sometimes I find that you are quite generous with your slushy ratings. So to get to 3, 4, or 5 is pretty rough for some of these. I would not be that harsh necessarily.
Yeah, the scale kind of got like, you're just wait till you hear the rest of season 3. I enjoyed a lot of it. Plug for the choir room. Go check that out if you're a Glee fan or if you know any Glee fans. But I guess let's get into this episode. We're down to... not many people left in the game. We are getting closer and closer to the final. Eventually it will show up, but until then, we're just going to keep picking a couple people off at a time. This is obviously going to be a double elimination episode where we will have one man and one woman go home. We still have a couple people without Red Skulls. It was, who was it? Bailey, Kyle, and Josh. Right?
There you go.
Just the three of them. So three people without Red Skulls as we are getting ready for this episode to begin. Last episode we saw, wow, my mind is blanking. Who is it?
Melissa.
Melissa sent home Nani. Yes. Okay. Yep. Sorry. The air conditioner was on before. I'm telling you, I'm going to blame it on the heat. It was on and now it's been off for like 5 minutes and I'm just already losing my mind. Melissa just got her Red Skull. We have 3 more to give out. So it is time for those 3 to potentially go in. I saw some criticism online about people like complaining that everybody got a chance for a Red Skull at the end of the day. Where do you lie on that?
For me, I don't know how many weeks ago, like I started bringing it up, like we're not going to the final with 13 people. I don't know what everyone expected. So as soon as I don't think that they saw, maybe TJ shouldn't have been beating the drum of why aren't you guys throwing yourselves in yet, because now we have like multiple weeks where it's like, ooh, so now this is pretty boring, eh? So by TJ, you know, reinforcing that idea that you should be throwing yourself in so early, and a lot of some of the fan favorites, the legends of the show, going in and ultimately losing because of that strategy, we ended up at a point where everyone has a Red Skull. We're left with some pretty smaller names left towards the end. So probably a consequence that they did not see coming.
Right. So, I mean, we got to, I guess, get a couple more eliminations in. What can you really do at this point? I mean, people that don't have a Red Skull are going to get a chance to go in. So we're going to see in this episode that, yes, just to kind of cut right ahead to the end of it, Josh is going to go home at the hands of Kyle, getting his Red Skull. Anissa is going to also head out at the hands of Bailey, who is going to finally get her Red Skull. And we end this episode with every single person having a Red Skull and a chance to compete in TJ's final. So, I mean, at this point, how many people left? Is it 5 guys and 5 girls? Or I should have counted.
I'll take your word.
Nelson, Fessy, Rogan, Corey Cotton. No, there's 6 guys left and I believe 5 women left. So one more guy than women. Bleh, whatever. Do we know if next episode is a double elimination?
I don't know. I know that they teased Hall Brawl, so there's at least one more left. But I do not know if we are going to lose one more guy or 3 more people in total, which I would prefer to lose 3 more people in total. Ideally, I don't really need 10 people in a final, but I don't know that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like we definitely don't need 10. Probably. I feel like I saw somewhere something about a double elimination next week. So if I did, and I'm not making that up unless I was reading it for this week, then we would be down to 4 girls and 1 guy, 5 guys. Why can't I talk today? I'm sorry. Sorry, everybody. I swear I'll get back on track sooner or later. Sometimes you just get like stuck in these loops and you just can't pull yourself out of it. Like, it's not even like I'm distracted. I'm literally focusing on my notes, looking at the screen, and I'm losing my mind. But sometimes you just have those days. Let's just thanks.
No one noticed.
One noticed except me pointing it out in front of everybody that I'm fumbling all over the place, but it happens. Kyle starts off this episode, as I said, begins my notes, talking about how he still needs a Red Skull. Bailey is also in need of her Red Skull. She has 4 tribunal wins. Did you realize that?
That is wild. I did not realize it was quite that high.
Yeah, and Corey also is going to talk about that. Do you think, like, is tribunal wins something that they keep track of in the house in a way that is super important to them, but not even close to being important to us, I guess, besides draft points?
Yeah, I don't think that it's sure it's probably talked about in terms of like that was why probably Nani didn't want to go against Bailey last week, but I don't think it was really any type of street cred that they were gaining there.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. And then like the whole thing that we're going to get into also with Corey going into this tribunal, and it seemed like super important for him to get in. I was like, what does it matter so much? I mean, I guess we can get into that later, but it feels like they're in some kind of like strange competition that has nothing to do with like the actual game. Like, it's not like TJ said, oh, the person with the most tribunal wins at the end gets an extra trip to Burger King. Like, that's not a thing. So I don't know quite what's going on here, but whatever. We're going to get early on here, talk about the Anissa thing. Let's just get right into it. We have a lot of talk between the guys about how Anissa is not an ideal person to go to a final with. And if there's somebody that's got to go in, get thrown in, you know, probably against Bailey because she still needs to get her red skull, might be Anissa. We'll see if we can get her out of here before we need to work with her.
How many finals where it's an individual season do they end up actually working together, like in any significant way? Like, I know the most recent time I think was Dirty 30, but it was literally like, okay, like, you know, carry these bricks down the hill, and then like the real stuff that mattered was the individual running stuff like that. I don't think it ever really came down to like a couple minutes, and other than that, like the last few final seasons, it's never been involved. So I kind of don't love this, and it's always the guys that are worried about which women they're going to run with, and never it's like, Kyle and Josh, you're both freaking out about this, and like this could very easily be turned around on you for why you should be going home. So I don't know if you'd be voicing it so loudly.
Right. I mean, I guess there's some kind of dynamic going on, and that's another thing that's like annoying me about this edit. Like, I'm not complaining that Dee is being taken out of the show by any means, because I support the decision that MTV made on that. It's just the story is suffering a little bit because of it, because we're not allowed the opportunity for an explanation on to the dynamics on the women's side. Like, a couple of things happened throughout this episode. It seems like Melissa and Dee are tight. And I think just using my like best like grasp of context clues, it seems like Jenny kind of maybe is back in on that. Jenny and Melissa seem close, and I know that, you know, Jenny and Dee had a fallout, but it seems like they have that Melissa link in the middle, and they're kind of working together, but they're not as connected with Bailey or with Anissa. And like during the challenge, we see Anissa talking about how the women are working together against her, and I guess also maybe against Casey, I'm not sure. But it just seems like we know what the guys' dynamic is, but the women's side is just more confusing because we're not getting the full story.
Yeah, that has to be the case, because in full caps I have in my notes, why not throw in D? Like, I'm so confused. Right. Later. So ultimately that must be the case, because I don't see a way that Anissa gets targeted here otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, Bananas hates D a lot, and a couple other people in the game probably are not a big fan of her. But she just won a final last season, and when you look at, you know, I guess her record running a final and winning one final rather than some of these other people out there, Bananas is probably at a certain point where he's like, you know what, I'll live with her, because she, I guess, proved herself as recently as the very last season. So, you know, we're down to the point.
I feel like it's almost where I would say the most recent case of them running finals individually was season 33, where it was men and women competing against each other, not with each other. So if anything, I could see that being more likely. So Bananas and everyone else like saying we got to get Anissa out because we perceive her to be weaker in a final, well, maybe that's good, and maybe you should try to be getting Jenny and Dee and whoever else out, because they might be kicking your ass in the final, Bananas.
Right. And a lot of the stuff with Anissa this episode, I was really like taken, not fully taken aback by. Like, I get the, you know, everybody talking about how Kyle says at one point, like, that Anissa's best years are behind her. I'm like, wouldn't we all have been saying, we have been saying that about CT, and then CT just won a final. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that I expect Anissa that would have won the final if she, you know, stayed in the game. But like, I don't know if, it feels like if we're either, like, you have to decide, are we underestimating the vets? Are we overestimating them? Are we properly estimating them? Like, are there confessionals saying Anissa's a beast, Anissa sucks, and we just air whatever makes sense? Probably, I don't know. It's just...
Well, the thing is, so Anissa's still, I would say, you know, definitely affected by the injury she got on Champs vs. Stars, where she hurt her ankle really bad, had to get multiple surgeries, and was taken like completely out of commission. That's why she hasn't been on in however long.
Yes.
So she's definitely still affected by that. But if you look at the history of Anissa, it has never been Anissa the finals beast. It has always been Anissa is going to, you know, murder other women in the eliminations and get her way towards the end, but she's never been considered a threat for the final. So I don't think Anissa's really in any different of a position, and it was weird to see it framed that way as like, oh, she used to be good. It's like, no, I kind of feel like she's in the same spot.
And I like her point that she made about how, you know, like she kept talking about finals are not always individual, or they are individual. Point being that she was saying... She was saying that, like, it's not necessarily a guarantee that somebody's going to be tied to her. And she was like, if we are tied together, there's puzzles. And you know I'm good at puzzles. And you getting a timeout on a puzzle because you suck and can't put a puzzle together. Looking at you, Fessy, Corey, Nelson. Who else did we flag up? Rogan, was he bad at puzzles? I don't know. Yeah, just all those Rogan guys is, that...
You know, I feel like it's 50-50 on that one.
Right. So like all these guys that are not known for being puzzle masters, like maybe you do want to keep Anissa around for a specific part of the final, but whatever. What do you think of the scene of Anissa not giving her mom any information about what's going on in the house?
Oh, I love Gail. I think Gail is the gossip and I'm a big fan. Would hang out with Gail, would hang out with Anissa, and, you know, bigger fan of Gail than a couple people on this cast for sure.
Yeah. She was like, just tell me what's going on. Like, who's there? What's left? I'm like, Anissa knows that her mom is about to go feed the spoiler pages all the tea that she she's about to give them. And she's like, I'm too smart for this. I'm not having this all in my name from you, mom. She's like, I'll tell you when I get home.
Gail is JChallenge_ on Instagram.
Yes. So, yeah, I guess that's what's going on with Anissa. We get a kind of... nice scene with Corey and Fessy, which I guess I say that a little hesitantly because at first I was like, this is boring me. It was just them talking about Fessy and his NFL career that never actually took off. Yeah. And all of a sudden,
well, just to jump in on that for 1 second, I feel like we've been sold a bill of goods in terms of Fessy's potential NFL career, that he was taken out by an injury. Both Colin Stone and my brother flagged out, because he was watching the episode with me, that Fessy said he was ranked 30th in his draft year, and they both said basically like they'd be lucky to get to 13 people that were drafted in his position. So Fessy doesn't seem like he really ever had a shot of going pro.
I could not give any comment on the matter in any
That's
way.
Basically what I said.
Right. But I mean, I'll take their word for it. Absolutely. I trust both of those people infinitely more than anything that I could tell you about that. But I guess, yeah. But it turned into a scene that was nice to get some insight, you know, to hear Fessy's story about how he, you know, he wants to do this pretty much for everybody who looks like him, is like him. He's talking about how, you know, he's like, I'm a Middle Eastern guy. Usually I get like funny looks. Like back in the day, like he used to get people looking at him funny and all this kind of stuff, especially he was talking about like when he was younger and in the days closer to 9/11 and all this kind of stuff. And he says that, you know, he has had a tougher road than, you know, a lot of other people, and being on this challenge, potentially winning, means a lot to him. You know, things didn't work out with the football thing, but he's found another thing that could be his thing, and this is going well for him so far. So, you know, Corey's kind of coaching him up on the political game part of it, but Fessy is, you know, of course, to his credit, looking like a very big threat as we get closer to the final here. So he's pulling out all those stops.
Yeah, definitely some good winner content, if that ends up being what the case is. But yeah, he talked about his dad and when his dad would have like a longer hair, longer beard, how they would get looks and how that like really affected him. And so like that was all well and good in terms of like, it's good that this is on TV, especially like now. And Fessy, while not being the most entertaining all the time, is definitely an important person to have at the moment. To, you know, if he's going to be there, then give him the airtime, especially when something like this comes up. So it was encouraging to see that scene make the air.
For sure. And I definitely felt bad as soon as I was just like, I was yawning from the second the episode started. And it was just like, because I we're again, we're at the point where it's like a lot of things, like this isn't drama, this isn't talking about actual strategy or any gameplay or anything like that. I was like, what are we even watching here? And then like Fessy started opening up, and I mean, it speaks to, I guess, like the lack of this in general on reality TV, that this wasn't even on my radar that we would get something like this. So you know, I definitely appreciated that it did end up making air, this whole conversation and these confessionals from Fessy. So that was nice. But after this is all said and done, we are going to see the time clock pop up on the bottom of the screen. It is 12:58 a.m. and everybody's just kind of going about their business in late in the night, and the alarm goes off. Bailey says that she feels like it's TJ sending them a signal, which it is. It's time for a challenge at 1 a.m.
I do typically like the night challenges, but as they start explaining this, I'm like, we did this already this season, maybe not the second half, but what's it called? They call it running out of time. And so they have to like run and go pick up debris and bring it back. I was like, we've done this. We've already seen this. They ran out of ideas.
Right. Yeah, that was my first thought as well, but then it turned into like a bit of a different like strategy element, I guess, to it. Last time it was just everybody bring weight back to your bin, and this one was bring weight back and put it in your opponent's bin. And then, you know, the second half of the challenge was also a little different. So I was glad that they at least, you know, added something else in, because I had the same thought. I was like, we did this already. I don't know why we're already recycling ideas, but whatever. So yeah, I mean, and just overall, any thoughts on this challenge? Did it give you any kind of excitement, or were we just like, you know, kind of bored?
It was fine. If this had not basically already happened this season, I would have enjoyed it more. But it was interesting in looking. I did like pause the screen a couple times on the rewatch to see that like the barrels of Kyle and Anissa and Rogan and Casey are literally overflowing with material. Like people didn't even like, oh, I'll spread some to bananas or someone else. So I like, no, it was like the things were falling out of their barrels. So because people specifically did not want those four to win, I guess. So that was interesting, at least to see. I was surprised to see Casey out of any of them pop up there. But otherwise, I would, otherwise we just had really like the deal making, which made it interesting.
I mean, Casey gunning for Bailey, I thought was slightly interesting, because I kind of figured that even though they had that blow up, that like they would try to get back on the same page. Like, you're still Big Brother. You're the only, no, Fessy's still there, but like, you don't have 100 numbers on your side still. Like, when you get down to it, it does feel like you should be sticking together. But I don't know. That's where Casey decided to go.
Especially for Casey, who just lost Nani, and she is basically, I mean, as we saw, her barrel gets loaded up on. She has no one else, so I don't know why she's not making some effort with Bailey here.
TJ ends up calling 5 minutes towards the end of this challenge, and we see that Nelson, Kyle, and Anissa didn't even make it back for stage two, so everybody else is going to give it a shot. Kyle's so annoyed. Yeah, I worked so hard, didn't even get a shot. I'm like, how, like, was it as hard as they made it seem to get back for the second stage? I feel like he told them what the rules were. You had to be back. And unless I'm missing something, I was like, I don't know
No.
how they didn't make it back.
So, in terms of this part, what I also realized on the second rewatch is, since Kyle and Anissa were literally filled to the brim, and you saw as soon as like Rogan lifted it, one other person who was filled all the way up dropped it immediately. And Rogan, I have more faith to hold an entire barrel full of junk than Kyle and Anissa, and could not hold it up for a second. So Kyle and Anissa were never going to be able to. So whereas other people might have like, you know, stopped to make sure that they get to the second part of the challenge, Kyle and Anissa should be doing extra laps in order to weigh down the people that they want to weigh down. Nelson, I don't have an explanation there. That's Nelson.
No, that definitely makes a lot of sense, and I hadn't thought about it like that, but for sure, I guess makes sense for Kyle and Anissa if they had their baskets lifted. Nelson is Nelson. We'll probably talk about him a little bit more later, just for like a half a second. He just keeps talking about like the fact that like I feel like at a certain point, I feel like he seems like he thinks he deserves to like just get a cakewalk to the final at this point. And at every turn, he's like, "Why are people still not like showing me respect?" It's like, you still have no friends in the house. You have two friends in the house. Like, Corey has outside connections. Fessy has outside or other connections. Nelson is like the one person that's still like, not a single person would be mad to see him go. And like, I don't know how he still hasn't picked up on that, but that's just, I guess, a side frustration that I have with him.
Yeah, you see people not giving Anissa respect, and she's been on 12 seasons. Like, Nelson, like, get with the game. It's not happening.
She is. She makes friends. Like, she still has friends on the show. The only reason that that's happening to her is because, you know, people are doubting her physical abilities. Nobody's doubting Nelson's physical abilities, but at a certain point, it's just like nobody cares about him. But I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Definitely fair.
So they all get up to stage two. We get this whole thing where Corey is making a deal with Fessy after Josh already made a deal with Fessy. And it seems to get a little messy. We get a bananas confessional saying that, you know, two spots in the tribunal have now been promised to two different guys. And this is going to get a little strange. And then by the end of this, once Fessy has made that deal, Josh comes over extremely annoyed because he wanted to not just be thrown in, he wanted to be in the tribunal. And Fessy and Josh are just going at it. I'm like, this could easily be happening in the Big Brother house, and you wouldn't know the difference. Like, I just imagine people like Bananas and Anissa and TJ, like people that have been around for a while, being like, these Big Brother kids are just annoying and all they do is yell at each other.
Yep, this is exactly the thought I had. Like, Josh, you've seen this on Big Brother. The last person up there with them gets what they want. So Josh kind of played himself. Like, he was doing the Big Brother strategy of negotiating himself dropping out. But there's only one seat there, and you can't fill when, you know, the last person there is going to have more negotiating power than you ultimately. Mm-hmm.
And to get to this decision, we're going to see, obviously, it ends up being Fessy who beats out Corey. And then it turns Jenny ends up beating Melissa for that spot on the women's side. And Jenny wants to pull in somebody who hasn't had a Red Skull yet. Fessy is very insistent on Corey being the one pulled in. Now, we obviously see that Jenny gets the last word here. Is there any other reason for that besides, like, she hung on longer than him? Is that what that was?
I feel like this has happened once before, and we don't have any reasoning to it.
Yeah, I could only imagine it's because, I mean, he did drop before her, as far as I think.
I feel like it's whoever production decides to call on that day.
Totally possible. I mean, if Fessy was like, if I just feel like if Fessy had the ability to be like, no, you know, there's two of us making this decision, we don't agree, you know, kind of thing, then Corey would have made his way in. But I feel like they did tell Jenny she was the one that had the final say if they couldn't agree. So I don't know. She ends up getting the power to pull in Josh. And at this time in the episode, I was a little confused about that. I guess just to kind of talk about it now, later on, we see Jenny make her decision to throw Anissa in over Melissa when those are the two options. So was she wanting to pull Josh in because she knew that Josh would say Anissa and she wanted to protect Melissa and Corey would?
There's no way.
I said that backwards. if Corey was in the tribunal, Corey would have saved Anissa and Jenny wanted Anissa to go in.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, is that I definitely think, because watching this, you get the impression that, like, oh, Jenny, like, just be fun. She's, like, so by the book and, like, oh, I just want to be competitive and just – and Jenny's become, like, a likable – did you ever thought Jenny would be the underdog? But de-targeting her really did wonders for her popularity, it seems. But you get Jenny has just been, like, a likable presence but ultimately kind of boring still, and – having her do things like this where she's like, well, it's just fair for one of them and it's fair. It's like, that's boring. I don't care if it's fair. So I genuinely am not sure if it was calculated. I don't know if maybe Bananas is also in Jenny's ear. They seem quite close all of a sudden, saying like, no, it has to be Josh. It has to be, like, you know, someone in our alliance. They can't have the majority. But at least even what Jenny's like serving in confessionals, it seems fairly straightforward and not calculated.
I fully agree. I think I can see Jenny having trouble on a future challenge. I feel like she's a lock for this final, even if, you know, there's another elimination. We already saw her in a hall brawl last time and she didn't win that one. But looking at the competition that's left for her this season, I feel like if she does end up in there, I'm not worried about her. You know, she lost to Tori last time.
I could see her losing to Bailey.
I don't know. I mean, I really feel like Bailey looked a little gassed out in this episode, in this elimination, which probably was more energy than a hall brawl. I don't know if that's fair.
The thing is, I feel like hall brawl is like a short burst, whereas this was like hardcore endurance. This is like a lot harder than it looks, I think. And Bailey just has like the size to go against Jenny. I think Jenny is probably more confident in like physical battles than she was last time, but she still really hasn't been tested outside of that in like a one-on-one, like head-to-head matchup where you're going physically like that. So I think it's at least possible.
Yeah. But I guess just point being that I feel like in the future, I can see Jenny having problems because I feel like she's not learning the political side of the game as well as she should be. I feel like she is, you know, she has this strange opportunity this season to play the game from a position of kind of feeling safe because she already has her Red Skull. A lot of people are getting that experience here, but Jenny, especially, you know, in any normal season, you would think that she might get thrown in more often because people don't want to run against her in the final. Which also, now that I'm even saying it out loud, I'm like, but then again, they don't do that to Kara. They don't throw her in, even though they don't want to compete against her. But maybe they'd be more afraid of Jenny than they would be of somebody like Kara, because Jenny is just such a beast. I don't know. I just feel like she is not playing the most optimal social and strategic game. At a couple different turns, she's been making some questionable decisions. Like, why burn Corey like this?
I think she's playing a great strategic game for bananas. Yeah. Ultimately, I think that almost everything that happens this week was his decision. I think that Corey, because we'll talk about Corey, is seemingly pissed at Fessy out of nowhere. And at first I was like, did they just not have any content with having to edit out Rogan and Dee, so they called Corey in to make up some storyline about him being pissed at Fessy? But I really do think that Fessy, do you think Fessy and Corey had any shot of taking a shot at bananas rather than throwing Josh into this elimination had Corey made that tribunal?
Oh, I definitely think they could have had more plans up their sleeve. They have what incentive do they have to give both Josh and Kyle exactly what they want? I feel like Corey easily could have taken his shot and made a big move if he had gotten in, and I don't know if that was his intention. Like, they were both telling Josh, you're definitely going in, but I can see them taking a shot at somebody like Bananas or Rogan, like somebody outside of their core. I mean, I'm sure they all like Kyle, but what do they owe Kyle? Like, to for sure end up voting him in, or end up, you know, I mean, if I guess it would have been down to Kyle versus Josh for the house vote. I feel like Kyle would have gotten the votes in that situation. He has more friends in the house. So it would have been Kyle versus whoever they wanted to throw in. So then I guess it would be Josh that they ended up screwing over. I don't even know. But yeah. I can definitely see them wanting to have made a move.
Because that's the problem, in that because they promised Josh that he would be voted in by the tribunal. So then Kyle still likely get voted in under the assumption that they'll honor it, because Kyle's not as close with Fessy and Jenny, etc., as Josh, or maybe not Jenny, but as Josh is. And then it comes down to, would Fessy screw over Josh in order to throw bananas in? Because I'm assuming that's what Corey would like to do. I don't know that Fessy does that, but I think that Corey wanted to be able to try to think of other moves at least.
Yeah. So obviously we see how this all plays out, that Jenny gets her way and Josh gets pulled in and Corey starts, you know, ripping into her right there. He's like, that's hilarious, Jenny. Now you did me wrong twice. All right. I see it. And, you know, obviously he's going to hold this against her for any time that the two of them have remaining in this season, and probably into the future if they end up back on a season together. So, you know, they're going to go back to the house. Corey is questioning Fessy for the first time, he says, this season, because he feels slighted by him. And, you know, Fessy comes up to him to try to, like, ask him, like, are you genuinely mad at me? Like, you saw that I was trying. And I mean, just my note on this is Fessy not being strategically strong enough to convince Jenny to put the person he wanted in. It's like, yeah, that checks out from what I know about Fessy as a game player.
Yep, that definitely does make sense. Something that I did not really consider, that Fessy's not the guy you want articulating the argument to get what you want in the game ultimately. But even more reason for Corey to not really question Fessy's not the guy who has a plan up his sleeve. He really just couldn't do it, Corey. It wasn't happening.
I know. It's like, blame production for giving you Big Brother players. I mean, I do think that Fessy is a good fit for this show because of his, you know, size and athleticism. He's not the most interesting character, but like, if you're looking, Corey, if you're looking for like new rookies to be brought in that can help you advance your game in all aspects, work on it with Fessy. Maybe in a couple seasons you can get him to that point. Just probably not right away. He's trying. He's, you know, putting in some work here to improve things with Fessy as a player. So that was nice. And we didn't talk about it earlier, but did you have any thoughts about Haley being brought up on the show for the first time?
No. I think it's funny that it's like, oh, my girlfriend at home, because they definitely broke up. I would assume that MTV was like, hey, we might cast you on X on the Beach. Like, let's break up. And right. Then they're back together now because she's not coming on the challenge, I don't think.
Right. Yeah, she's got stuff going on. And by stuff, I mean she actually does have stuff going on, but also is one of the names rumored for Big B 22. But who even knows if that's happening? I don't know. Nominations, we could talk about those for a little bit, even though they were pretty insignificant. Kyle volunteers because, of course, he does. And everybody agrees, says his name. Bailey says it's her turn to go in, and she would love if everybody voted for her. Everybody, including KC, is going to vote for her to go in. This, along with the tribunal, later on, I'm like, really could have been a 40-minute episode, let alone 60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did not need this at all. I mean, the only thing that I thought was like, I wouldn't have even brought it up if we had skipped past this section, but for Casey to be like, you know, Bailey, we've had our issues, so I'm going to vote you in. Like, why not just be like, this is what you want? Like, great. Yeah. Like, extend the olive branch. Don't like continue to like dig yourself a deeper hole, but okay, Casey.
Yeah. She's trying to like give herself a little bit of a prop up and be like, well, I know that you and I don't love each other right now, but I'm still going to give you a favor and make sure that you know that I'm putting it like, shut up. Whatever. Melissa was trying to push for Anissa to go in. This is, you know, after this is all done, because now that Bailey is the one going in, it does seem like obviously somebody with a red skull is going to have to go in. So Melissa wants it to be Anissa, and Nelson ends up coming to Anissa to tell her the deal of, you know, everybody kind of wants you to go in because of the whole final thing. So, you know, we see that Anissa still does have connections. It's not just Nelson. I'm pretty sure she's still kind of tight with Corey and a couple. I mean, even Fessy and Josh throughout this episode are talking about how we like her, but we kind of feel like we have to do this, so... I don't know.
I wouldn't say Fessy feels like it, because he even ultimately does not vote for her. But I feel like she has like a good connection with especially Corey, but like the, you know, TYB side of the house, and even with Bananas. But I just think Bananas is looking at what's best for him, and he's got his usefulness out of Anissa as far as this season's going to go.
Right. Let's, I guess, talk about the tribunal, unless you have anything from the night out. I really don't. There's just the Jenny and Anissa conversation where just furthering my point about how I don't feel like Jenny's playing, you know, the best, playing in the best way.
Nope, that's it.
Yeah, I got nothing there. The tribunal, of course, it's Fessy, Josh, and Jenny. And it's funny to me that they have to pick, you know, two names and they have to show this, like... I don't know. I'm trying to think. If we didn't see this, would I complain and would I say, where were the tribunals? Do we just not get to see the tribunals anymore? I don't know. I'm trying to debate how bad of a reality TV fan I am or podcaster I am if the reverse had happened. But I just really feel like they're wasting time here. I get that they have to continue the 90-minute episodes because they signed up for it for the whole season. But like to draw this out and to like specifically have to show us Rogan coming in and talking to them and Nelson coming in and talking to them when it meant absolutely nothing, because Josh said from the start, I'm going in. I'm like, really?
Yeah, it was dumb. And I would say maybe they like are only continuing to do 90 minutes because they don't have any new content while everyone's in quarantine, but they would have no problem throwing on another half hour of ridiculousness. So I really do think that they just, you know, they are sticking to their guns, and I really do hope that they, you know, like Drag Race will do 90 minute episodes until they don't have enough content and they'll move down to 60 some seasons. So let's do that. Let's definitely do that in the future.
Yeah. I really, again, like I have nothing significant to talk about from this tribunal. We just see, I guess, maybe like the highlight is Melissa coming in and Melissa and Josh kind of reigniting that little feud that they had from the last tribunal or whatever it was pretty recently. So you know, all these people that I feel like Josh is trying to make a feud with. First, it was Wes, and it's happened with like a bunch of people throughout the season. You know, this person doesn't like me, and I don't like them, and all this stuff. And I'm like, you barely hear the other person talking about this from their perspective.
Yeah, my thing, well, I thought Rogan was pretty funny in terms of, like, I want to go against Kyle, like, the, like, fake fight, and he's continuing that.
Yeah.
But the only thing that I'm also thinking in why I don't think that Jenny is playing a good game or really thinking about anything is it looks like she's trying to protect Melissa, I think we would agree, and last, like, a week ago, 2 weeks, or whatever it was, like, in terms of female elimination weeks, Melissa trusted Josh to not say her friend's name. Josh says her friend's name. So why is Jenny so fine with Melissa being one of the two names rather than Dee? Because at least Dee's wronged her before. Melissa has not. So that is, again, why not Dee? Why?
That's, again, why it feels like there's something missing. Just, I don't know what. Like, I don't know. Have Jenny and Dee made up by now? Because I agree with you. That would make so much more sense to have Dee's name thrown in there. Like, not a single one of them would probably disagree with that. Unless, like I don't know. Do they think that Dee would take out Bailey and they just want Anissa to go at this point? Like, is Anissa just the target? They're hoping for the strongest people to stay in the game?
It's dumb because even Jenny acknowledges in that bar scene, like, it would be good for me for Anissa to stay in because that's one person that I easily beat. Then, like, why are you doing this? Why? Right. I just never gonna understand Jenny. That's just it. We are different people, and that has never been more obvious.
I mean, you're probably right. It probably has a lot to do with Bananas. We haven't, like, seen much. I feel like Bananas and his game, like, since Wes has left. You know, he's obviously working with people. He's still there. But we haven't seen many, like, one-on-one scenes of him coaching newbies, unless I'm forgetting anything. We know that he's got a tight relationship with Josh, who was, like, a very easy, loyal number for him at all times. But, like, other than that, it just feels like we know that he's working on Jenny. Not so much that we, like, see it in action.
Yeah, I mean, that was the same thing on Wes's elimination last season, that Bananas had supposedly really put in a lot of work to make that happen. And we ultimately did not see it on the show. But also, retrospectively, how bad does Wes's move look to go against Bananas there?
Yeah, pretty rough. He easily could still be here right now, very close to the final. I don't know.
Yeah, because at the time it was like up for debate, and I don't think it is anymore at all.
And who's still sitting here talking about, like, oh yeah, remember Total Madness, that awesome week where Wes and Bananas went against each other? I'm like,
yep.
Sorry, not even nope. Slightly on my radar still as something important from this season.
I almost forgot he was on the season.
Right. So, you know, glad that all paid off for you, bud. But now his reality show is still kicking. Like, I can't believe he's still doing this. I saw, who did he have there recently? Now I have to look on his Instagram, but he had a couple people there recently, and Hunter, I know, was there. Mm-hmm. And who else? Sorry, I'm looking now. Paulie was there sometime recently, which we knew.
I, like you, though, floored that it's still going. I just thought that this would be something that, like, got some backlash or, like, would just kind of fizzle out because not enough people were interested. But, hey, people really want to throw Wes money, apparently, because they're doing so on Patreon, and they are doing so for his personal one and also for the show.
Yeah, I can't remember who the other person was. Was it Nelson? I think Nelson might have been there.
I think that's true.
All right, there it is. Yeah, Nelson, Hunter, and Wes was the latest crew that was taking over this whatever the hell documentary that he's doing. So, yeah, I mean, I guess however that ended up going for him, I mean, on this season, at least Wes is figuring something out in quarantine. I don't know. That's going to be his legacy of this time in 2020. It's not going to be the elimination. No. It's going to be the strange house that he had people breaking quarantine to come to and, you know, kind of disguising it as a charity event where he was just making money on Patreon and hanging out with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of people are bored of trying to find new shows to watch. I will never be that bored. I'm not watching the show. It's never happening. I don't care if it's free.
Honestly, might have considered it. I'm saying, like, I would have maybe considered watching it if it were free. There's okay. not a single chance I ever would have paid a dollar for it. It's like there's unlimited free Instagram lives that I just never bring myself to sitting down and watching because who cares? Like I don't. If there's anything significant that happens, I know that it's going to end up on, you know, on the Twitter timeline at some point. But just I don't know why Wes thinks that people would be invested in it. I just don't. Whatever. Let's talk. Speaking of,
have to be making money. It's still on.
Wes has money. I mean, he just has money, and he probably just has money to pay these guys, you know, for their flight in. He's giving them a place to stay, and, you know, they're just hanging out and doing, like, one day of digging shovels into the ground and calling it a day. I don't know.
I want to see how many patrons they have, but you can keep going.
Okay. I mean, I guess I really have nothing else besides getting straight to the elimination, which we're going to see is called Knots of War. It is obviously Kyle and Bailey coming down. They were the house votes, and we're going to see it's time for the tribunal to make their votes. Fessy does vote for Melissa. He doesn't want to put Anissa in. Jenny's talking about how it's tough, but she came into the game with Melissa, so she's got to vote for Anissa. We come down to the deciding vote of Josh, and he's going to put it on Anissa. So again, I do think Corey would have saved Anissa if these were the two options, and Melissa would have ended up the one in this elimination. But that's, you know, if that has anything to do with Jenny's decision, you know, then I guess it worked and Melissa is safe. Anissa's going in. She's obviously upset that she has to go down. She's annoyed that she never gets a chance to just go to the final. She always has to like fight that extra step just to make it there, which I get. I mean, it does seem like this happens pretty often, and it seems like it always happens to her for probably similar reasons. And TJ is even going to give her a little bit of a boost on the way down, calling her, you know, one of the most winningest elimination winners of all time, which is starting to, as this episode goes on, feel like the goodbye send-off that CT got, you know, on his way out that Anissa's getting here.
Yeah, it definitely was. There was a couple things that I thought were interesting in here. We get, first of all, Josh is talking about how he doesn't want to run a final with Anissa, and he feels bad that he's going to. Josh, you're not running a final. You're not running a final. And if you are running a final, you're not winning it. So why are you screwing over Anissa? Little poor Anissa could make it to the final. You're not. And then you have Kyle, who is like, I don't want to run a final with Anissa. But then in the next sentence says, if like someone with a horrible personality has to drag me over the end, it's like, you're not winning either. Why are you doing this? So like, that's what's especially frustrating over Anissa getting thrown in, is it's by like two people that are like the biggest proponents for it are two men who have no chance of winning this final anyway.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I love her point that she makes at the end of this about how when Josh is about to lose and she makes the point, she's like, I would love instant gratification right now. And if Josh was the one who walked out of here with me, like that would make it all worth it. And then she gets exactly that. And I'm like, there we go. Like that makes me feel better about Anissa going home in this spot, because it's brutal. And it's like, I at this point, I've gotten used to it for Nani, that she's always going to go home in this spot. So I guess I kind of am numb to it, even if I do still feel bad for her in a way. Like, yeah, my heart broke for Anissa here. I was like, come on. She was so close, and I didn't think she was going to win, but I'm sure she would have appreciated the shot to just get to the final. So that kind of sucked. But then at least, you know, the small victory that she got at the end was getting to walk out with the guy who put her in. And like you said, it's like frustrating because it's Josh, but you know, her getting to walk out with him was made it all worth it for her and as a viewer.
Yeah, I mean, we also get the reveal of the top tier nickname of K-Dog. I don't feel like we ever got that one for Kyle before.
Yeah,
which seemingly comes out of nowhere and gets mentioned multiple times in this elimination ring.
Yeah, he's like K-Dog on a Sunday. I'm like, is that a thing?
Sure. I'll go with it. It's not the weirdest thing I've been asked to just believe out of this episode.
Right. That's what I'm just going to wake up on Sunday morning this week and just, yeah, could go for some K-Dog on a Sunday this lovely morning.
Caption the Insta.
Yes. thoughts on this elimination? Nothing we haven't seen before, this format of elimination.
Yeah, I like this elimination a lot. We've seen it definitely. I can remember it on the most recent Battle of the Seasons. It's one that I've always enjoyed, and it's one that I also think, unless you have a pretty fair matchup, you can predict how it's going to go pretty easily.
Yeah, we get the first matchup of Anissa versus Bailey, and both of them kind of seem at a similar pace to start off, but then eventually Bailey is like having a hard time picking up the rope, and you're kind of not sure what's happening. Eventually, you know, when they swap and it's time to untangle the other person's ropes, Bailey is you know, eventually going to emerge with a bit of a lead, which brings her to get the win over Anissa. And of course, Anissa ends this crying a little bit because she just can't catch a break. And you know, she says she hates when people on their third challenge tell her she's not worth making it to the end. And I'm like, yeah, you tell them. But yeah, so Anissa's done. Bailey has gotten her Red Skull. Happy for her.
Yeah, I'm glad to see Bailey succeed. I definitely think that she has potential, and to beat Anissa is like, no, even though like it is at this challenge, like it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, the same thing that like when Jay beat CT, it's like CT is getting older and that kind of thing, where like you do see them as less of a threat than they were at one point. But like still to beat the giant, beat a challenge legend, I'm sure still always feels good to anybody who comes in here and is able to do that.
For sure.
So then we go to Kyle versus Josh, and Melissa's coaching up Kyle a little bit. I will be honest and tell you that I fast forwarded a little bit through this elimination because, well, as you know, I was like rushing to get to CVS, and I was like, you know what? I'm just so over this episode. Anything significant happen here besides Melissa coaching up Kyle?
No, I mean, you get like Kyle has the strategy. Josh like starts flailing around like he always does under pressure. And it's at least so far, our bet of over under 0.5 eliminations for Josh's career on the challenge, not looking too good anymore.
Well, I think I said under. Yeah, no,
I said over.
I said under, and I, yep, feel pretty good about that continuing here.
This was pre-BB22 rumors, so...
I would have said the same thing even if I was sure he was a lock on next season. I just, I don't know. I feel bad for him in a way because I know how hard he trains. By you know, I follow him on Instagram. I see him always in the gym, always working on himself to make himself better, you know, for the show. But also, like, you know, it seems like he's gotten really focused on just being like the best version of himself physically. And he just gets in there at the time where it matters the most. He wins challenges here and there throughout the season. Let me see how many points he has. He's gotten Colin 17 points throughout this season. Mm-hmm. So obviously he's won a couple of things here and there. Like that is 17 points to Kyle's 2 on the season, and Kyle's 2 points on the season came from this win against Josh here. So yeah, I mean, okay, in terms of draft value, Josh is the correct pick.
The thing is there any elimination this season that you would pick out and say, yeah, Josh could have won that?
I mean, you're testing my knowledge on what happened with the eliminations this season. But I mean, gut instinct says no, which is why I said, you know, under 0.5 for his overall, you know, career wins elimination. So, yeah, I just don't see it. And he also is going to be crying a little bit at the end of here, struggling about how he just came so close yet again and lost. It's just he's following the Nani trajectory, and it's only his third season.
Okay, so DJ hates Josh, right?
Right.
Did you notice this?
Yeah. Okay, that was brutal. Like, how do you just own somebody like that so bad when they already left?
It was so bad. And he did the same thing last season. I was like looking at, again, Reddit right before we were on. And I forgot, after Josh and Jordan's elimination last season, TJ says, what is he? Basically, he's like, you know, I just had to say that it wasn't a good elimination, but like, it's the polite thing to do. Like, Jordan, you killed him. And this time it's like, even when Josh is there, like to his face, he's like, Anissa, you're a legend. Like, you're an icon. Everyone loves you. Josh, you lived in the bunker for a couple weeks. Like, thanks for being here.
I don't,
that's so brutal.
Like that whole thing just speaks for itself. Yeah, Anissa, you are a legend. Josh, you were here. Like,
it was you trying to figure out what to say about this episode at the beginning is how exactly. DJ feels about Josh.
Exactly. It's just like, what do you even say at a certain point? It's like, yeah, we've covered all there is to cover about Josh. Like, TJ has, what is he gonna say? What do you want him to say about Josh? Like, Josh, you're a hell of a competitor. I mean, that doesn't seem like the most honest.
He tried last time.
Yeah.
And then took it back.
Yeah. I don't know. So yeah, that was great. That was really funny. As you know, Josh is gone and he says, you know, you took out a legend, Bailey, and Kyle, you took out a guy who cries a lot, but he's still good.
Yeah. K-Dog versus a guy who cries a lot. Definitely prefer K-Dog, but I feel like I would probably be handed guy who cries a lot. Seems more appropriate.
So that's it. TJ is going to tell them they all have a red skull. So everybody down here and everybody up there, you all are qualified to run my final. And they're all hanging on to his every word, thinking he's about to announce, you know, we're going somewhere else. We're on the next stage, the final stage of this game. And he says, all right, see you guys soon. See you guys in Hall Brawl next week, and it is not time for the final just yet. And believe me, Nelson and all of you guys that are disappointed, so are we.
Yeah, I mean, partially, like, yeah, I want to be at the final, but also I don't want to see 11 people run the final. No. So let's get a few of them out of here in the next episode, and then let's get to the final for me.
Got to agree with that. So yeah, that's the episode. I'll give you guys a quick draft update as we are getting closer and closer to the end. I definitely have to check the math on this. I have not yet done that. I usually do at the end of the season, so this could be off a little bit. Right now in fourth place, we have Colin with 42 points, Corey and Kyle remaining on his team, Haley with 50 points, Bananas as the sole remaining person on her team, Scally right up above Haley in second, with Jenny, Casey, Fessy, and Melissa still on his team, and I am just slightly ahead of him with 84 points. Nelson, Bailey, D, and Rogan still remaining on my team. So still, you know, anybody's game at this point. Winning the final as of now has a 25-point addition, so probably is going to mean a lot. Whoever has the winner on their team or winners, you know, I think we're still assuming there will probably be a one man and one woman that wins this season. You get some points for making the final, so we'll see how that all plays out as we get there. What else? We had some stuff we wanted to talk about from social media, whatever.
Yeah, so old school challenger Mark Long has been pretty thirsty on social media lately, and for a while now, really trying to get back on the challenge. Despite he's, you know, somewhat in his 40s, could definitely still kick my ass, no question, but he is really trying to get on the challenge and has now been throwing out the idea of a all old schoolers challenge, something like 2 weeks, probably in the format of like a Champs First Pros, but just all old schoolers, and seemingly is getting some pretty big names to commit to it, not one of those names being MTV, but otherwise it seems like it could be cool if it does work out.
So have you seen any names that he was like trying to pull in?
Yeah, so I did see at least he was releasing text with big names saying that depending on the timing, which ultimately this isn't happening, let's be honest. First of all, MTV hasn't given any interest in this. And also, like, the realistic possibility of bringing together these people who actually have established lives and have moved on from the challenge to all have the same 2 week availability, it's not happening. But it is interesting at least to see that Landon, who has been rumored recently, would be interested, and one of the people that I know challenge fans have been dying to see back for a while, Evelyn, has even said that after November she would be available. So that seems like kind of a far way away for MTV to commit to, but she even would come back for one last run if it was in this format.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to a guy who still doesn't believe BB22, despite like Andy Heron saying on Twitter that he knows people that have signed, and I'm still sitting here like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. So I'm going to hold off on getting my hopes up on BB22 and also my hopes up on this happening. It seems like a Mark Long project he can probably put together. Maybe he can turn into like the Audrey Middleton of a different universe and get some kind of OG game going where it just turns into like some kind of fun game for, I don't know, for people who are, you know, looking to still play and won't be able to do so on the main shows, I guess. I don't know. But
yeah, I would watch the Sequester Mini Challenge OG edition.
Like, give Mark would definitely play.
Yeah, there's no question. Yeah. I'm surprised she hasn't hit him up yet, honestly.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at this point, like, I can't even imagine like any other challengers that would say yes besides like Mark Long and maybe Derek, if he could like figure
oh,
out.
No, Derek.
Derek would play. He's like dying to like play these games again. Like, he wants to get on the show, obviously, and he's been vocal about that. But if they're not like calling him, but then again, let me use this as an opportunity to lead into the next thing you were going to bring up. Could we see Derek back on like next season if
ooh,
it's a lot of U.S. names?
this really, okay, so let's bring up the context for such. But as we have been flagging up the idea that the Challenge very easily could film a season in the US, it looks like one of the, I believe you said more legit spoiler accounts has been talking about at least rumblings of to expect a full US cast next season. Because while filming in the US, I did not think about the consequences of only casting people from the US. And that seems like it's being more and more likely.
Yeah, I can see that being the case. I mean, it would be unfortunate, obviously. There's half this cast for the past couple seasons has been international players, and it would be a pretty big loss to lose a lot of them. There's a lot that it wouldn't be a big loss to lose. D. Rogan, we'll see you later. I don't know who else. I mean, Melissa's not even available. Just looking at the list of people from this season, Bear, they were probably like, this is, I think, an easy excuse for them to not have to put Bear on the next season after, a lot of people have been kind of calling for, like, why is he still allowed on your show? Oh my God, no, Big T couldn't come back.
Yeah, Big T is the one big loss for me that I was really thinking, where I'm
No.
so scared she could get lost in the shuffle if this is true.
No. All right,
I
well,
mean, she
she'll
got
win
the big
season
edit.
37.
Oh, please, I need, don't like tease me. But ultimately, like, she's the one that I'm scared of getting lost in this, where she has this big edit. And I'm like, I think she's coming back. They wouldn't like invest this much screen time if they weren't interested. But while I am excited about, well, excited and also dreading some of the names that we could get from needing a full US cast, I am also nervous about losing a few. Like, I think the names that I'm going to miss on the cast, like the Kyles, like I like Kyle a lot, but we're gonna get Kyle. Kyle could take one season off and we'll get him again, But losing a Big T or someone like that would be kind of upsetting just because of, the ultimate filming restrictions.
Yeah, there's a pretty deep bench of US players that, have not gotten the call lately or one way or another, like would love to get on. And like this could be their opportunity to do some kind of like OG, older players coming back on and getting a chance to get back in there. Like maybe they call back up Darrell or Derek or whoever, people that they know are looking to get back on the show. If they have so many spots open that these people are not able to take, especially, I mean, a lot of people recently have been Big Brother names. Some of them are rumored for BB22. So if that happens, you have, that extra two or three spots potentially opened up. I mean, somebody like Swaggy who says that he's retired from the show anyway. I could easily see them pulling out the cast. Like, I don't think it would be hard for them at all to get an all US cast. It would just be a very different tone from what they've had lately.
Yeah, I would be excited, like, if they are forced to pull into something, like, let's get Tony back. We've been saying it for a while. Like, I would be
Please.
interested in that. And so names like that, I'm excited. I am a little worried about, like, this is how Josh gets on next season if he's not on Big Brother, isn't it? This is how Josh is on next season.
I
And not
know.
to pick on Josh, but, like, because it was just the first name that came to mind. But
Okay, but like, imagine he's not on BB22 and also doesn't get the call for this.
no, that's so sad. Like, I mean, not sad for me, but sad for him. So, and again, Josh is one of the, whenever we're at these events, Josh looks like the nicest person. Josh is someone that I
Yeah.
would want to hang out with. But in terms of producing himself on the show, I don't love all the time. But ultimately, I didn't even think about the possibilities in terms of rookies, and I would be very excited to get an influx of rookies on next season if they are restricted. So that could be exciting, actually.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that too. Get maybe a couple new Survivor names in there if you can get some I'm sure there's like one or two other Big Brother names out there that maybe have been floated around, haven't made it on yet. Like I don't know. I don't think Haley wants to go on. I'm just thinking like if she's not on BB22. And then you obviously have the people who were like on last season didn't come back here. You're gonna have your Pauly back and Cara back and Cam coming back. You could probably
Yes, Cam.
get Leroy to come back in unless like the haircutting business is taking off like crazy, which it might be. Because everybody wants their haircuts right now, but I'm
Yeah.
sure he would be willing to step away to come back if they'll have him back. He's still looking for his win, so they could easily fill this cast back up.
I think so. I mean, this is how you could bring Natalie Negrotti back in. So there are some names that, like, it kind of feels like their story's not finished necessarily, and why haven't they been on? So I wonder if we'll get like a Marie or someone, but
Oh, please.
yeah, so we could get Marie, and Marie seems very interested in being involved in a lot of stuff online lately. So
Jemmy,
I
like, give me
think
Jemmy back.
Jemmy says she's retired from all things reality TV. I
That means the
mean,
call's
if
kind of
she,
stopped.
Yeah, well, I agree. But she even stopped like her YouTube channel, so I take it a little more seriously. But
Yeah.
I don't think that I don't know. I think don't know that she had the best experience on X on the Peak or whatever. Not that I like paid super close attention, but she seems to be done. Otherwise, you know, like some of those names, like a Marie, a Jemmy, who we haven't seen in a little bit. If you want to give that like them one last run, like that would be fun. So I'm interested. I would definitely rather have a season of the challenge with all US names than not have a season of the challenge.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely agree with that, especially as Survivor news seems to be getting slightly worse and worse. Like the challenge, like I don't know what their deal is. Like, do they? Well, no. I mean, they definitely can't keep all their stuff in one country because they move around a lot. So, all their stuff has to come back with them. So their stuff must be in the U.S., right? And then they should be able to find a place to film.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what stuff they have other than recording equipment, but like they're renting everything else in terms of the like challenges. But
I
yeah,
imagine they
no.
have some things and props that they use that get reused on a variety of challenges, like just a giant Tupperware, not Tupperware.
That's the first thing. The one thing the challenge needs is Tupperware.
I'm in my kitchen. It's not the word I was looking for. What am I trying to say? Like those big never mind. The challenge needs to reuse all their Tupperware, which is all in the US.
Okay.
So, it's time to close out this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, what? The only other like large things is like the letters where they spell out the challenge on the side of the house. Otherwise, I feel like it's a pretty mobile production. So they definitely just rent out the ranch. I mean, hey, it seems like Wes has a connection with Airbnbs, so definitely can figure that out. It just is hopefully things don't spike again so that can happen and things actually go down. So people wear your mask if you want more challenge.
Is this my worst podcast ever?
No.
Well, that's slightly comforting. All right.
I was
Well,
like,
I
I hope
really
that's
think we need
comforting
to
or
end before.
insulting.
I think it needs to end before it becomes that. Unless you have anything else.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, we will be back next week with the maybe penultimate episode to the final. Who's to say? I feel like I saw five episodes, which I think is two have passed since then. So it does feel like we are getting closer, but I know I say that every week. So, whatever. We'll just keep trying to enjoy something out of this show. And yeah, hoping for good news in terms of more filming sometime soon for the next season for this. And, of course, Big Brother as well and Survivor and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, last thoughts before we get out of here, if you have any, or at least, some plugs.
Nah, just follow on Twitter at Brian_Scally, and that's all I got.
All right. Yep. Follow me on Twitter at Matt Liguori. And if you guys do you guys not follow us on Twitter? That would be so rude if you just listen to our podcast and don't follow us on Twitter and read all of our wonderful tweets about me moving and having bunnies around my neighborhood. That's all I'm tweeting about these days. What are you tweeting about these days? I feel like I don't see you very often.
Yeah, well, there's no reality TV going on, at least that I'm able to watch live. So it's been a little bit of a dry spell, but I would still say Twitter's where the good content is. If you're, going through this podcast every week and not like getting the benefit of the Twitter, that's probably the problem.
I'd have to agree. And just swinging back around to the plug I made at the beginning, Choir Room Podcast. If you are interested, we have some new episodes probably dropping sometime in the next 72 hours. I'll give it a wide frame, and this is currently Thursday night, so sometime probably before the end of the weekend, you'll see the next batch of episodes there. So hop on in, and even if you don't like Lee, just come by anyway because we have a good time over there. And Scally, of course, was already on this season, this last season, this season.
Last season.
Last season. Well, I just reached out to you about an episode for next season, so that's why I'm confusing myself. But yeah, so Scally will be back on sometime soon. And yeah, so check that out. Check us out on Twitter. And that's all we've got for this episode, which I really need to end because I am really just a mess today. So thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.